Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the show that goes everywhere that people fear to tread. Because in a time of universal deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. My very special guests are Luke and his father, Jeff McKee. Now, you had a clip of an ABC broadcaster or something of that nature that you wish to play and preface?
Oh, and what it's all about, yes. Just to let your listeners know what we're talking about, just tuned in, we're talking about a thought crime of putting information in your noggin, which incriminates police, that the police minister said was set up as a preventative framework to prevent harm happening to officers in the future when he introduced it. So it's Minority Report, Meet 1984 by George Orwell. What happened is my dad was talking about other cases I've been involved in, also around 60C. There's one case we haven't mentioned out of the three I know of the possible... well, there was only two cases before me down in Milton, and, you know, two convictions, 100% conviction rate, no case law, secret matter. But ABC knew... the police decided to break tradition with 60C, being a secret whistleblower execution framework kill switch law, and put a press release out saying, and I'll put the links up at the end of the show, that an Aboriginal boy, a youth had done, made a statement, was the police's words, on a social networking site at this time to the exact minute, and he's going to court on this date. ABC News named the page, he made the statement on, and made the false claim he created the page, even though it never came out in court, and we actually believe the police created the page themselves for entrapment purposes. That's my opinion. So they made the false claim without using the word allegedly, and then they get a man who was on the AIDS Council of South Australia, so you have to be a precursor for that job is being gay, who's a former ABC producer, come online, who's an IT commentator by the name of Stilgarian, who's busy on ZDNet plugging geoengineering, and they don't talk about everything we're talking about, the truth, what we're doing now, revolutionary act. They say that the boy's an idiot, and how disgusting it is, and he says something very interesting about Facebook. I won't spoil the surprise. I'm going to play these two little clips now. Here we go.
Back to the teenagers and whoever's behind these silly sites in Port Macquarie, the Rootability site in particular.
Mm.
Oh, I don't know. Teenagers have always had a tendency to do some pretty stupid things, but I've become one of those people. We didn't have the capacity to disseminate information in the same way that we do now. We might have scrawled some nasty words on the back of the toilet door at school or gossiped around the quadrangle at lunch, but it didn't really go any further than that.
That's right. And the other factor is that once something is online, it's there permanently, it's searchable, and it's very difficult, you know, to make it go away and to cover it up. And this is going to be a challenge for kids growing up because they're going to do normal teenage stuff. And, you know, there's no way we can stop that. Kids will do reckless things. That's what kids do. It's just that once it gets to 20, 30 years down the track, someone's going to drag that up again, and it'll be an embarrassment. I'm wondering, and this is just perhaps more of a hope than a wondering, that, you know, after an initial few years of shock, horror, look at the terrible things these kids are doing, or someone runs for public office, wants to become, you know, mayor of the local town, and then can't because someone digs out a Facebook post from when they were 17 to embarrass them. That will happen, but I'm wondering whether in a couple of decades we might not be quite so judgmental of people, that because our childhood foibles are exposed to the world and everybody has them, that we'll become a bit more laid back about them.
Still Gearing with us on ABC Mid-North Coast. He's an internet commentator. We're talking about Facebook. We were having a chat about this at the station, and the question I posed to my colleagues was, what would have happened if some of the key figures in our recent history had access to social media and social networking? And I used Hitler as the example. Imagine if Hitler had used Facebook and Twitter.
Totally off topic they are, and then it gets even more strange.
That would have to be the ultimate marketing list, wouldn't it?
Oh, it is absolutely incredible because you can tell so much about someone just through who their friends are. Mm. And the classic example of that is someone has already done analysis of Facebook friend networks and worked out who's gay or not purely on the basis of who they're friends with and what interests they show, often before that person themselves has figured out that they're gay.
For those who detest social networking, is it avoidable or is it inevitable?
It's inevitable. I mean, it's...
Okay, so what actually happened is an Aboriginal boy, and this is all
Hold on. Before you continue, I just want to counteract your point. What if Hitler had access to social networking? Okay, Hitler took a census so that he knew the religion and the nationality and the job and the number of people and everything of everywhere. Hitler had state TV and radio broadcasting him all day, every day, practically. Hitler had censors to make sure any other broadcaster wasn't able to say a bad word against him. And you're afraid that he'll somehow have an unfair advantage if he has Twitter or Facebook.
I know, it's crazy. And speaking of it, the government does have an advantage because people in Australia might know of the OneTel collapse of a phone company. And Jody Rich from that's moved on just to get into big data mining from Facebook. He's got the Twitter feed as well. So the governments are actually watching what we all do collectively, and they all get the big Facebook and Twitter feed, and they already know what's going on. So they don't really need to, you know, go on the social networking sites themselves. They know what everyone else is saying about them. It's a new form of polling. But anyway, let's say what actually happened. And this is all government sources I'm about to say. If you don't believe what I'm saying, you're a conspiracy theorist because you should believe what the government tells you. So ABC News named the Facebook page, the police at the time of the statement, and Google Corporation, which we can say is a government entity practically, saved a cache copy of the page, which I put online on Alex Jones's InfoWars forums back in the day. And he made a one-line comment. He called a police officer. Can I say the word, three-letter word? Starting with F means gay. Okay? And he called a detective, Blake Keating, a F-A-G. And then the Aboriginal boy was charged with obtaining true personal information on a law enforcement officer. Now, what happened was the police tried to spin it in the court case because the boy pled not guilty. Now, I have another tape of a police officer in that police station saying that the boy confessed to this horrendous crime. And I'm going to talk more after this.
Okay, I haven't finished.
You're still not going to get
that. I'm going to have, before the court date, I'm going to have every Aboriginal group in Australia trying to get this law repealed. I don't care.
Please.
You're not going to win against me. Do you understand?
I'm fighting you.
Yes, you are.
We're telling you that this young person has profusely apologised for making a mistake.
So you're saying Benji was charged?
Sorry?
Are you saying, Benji Morris was charged?
Who?
You're saying that the young boy was charged?
Yeah.
Benji Morris was charged.
As you're aware, the young fellow was charged and he's admitted to it and apologised profusely directly to the officer involved. He's apologised for making a mistake.
Are you going to prosecute him for this, even though he's allegedly apologised?
Yes, he was going through the court system. Listen to me. Okay, he's going through the court system. It is up to the court to decide his penalties.
And so the police can ask the question, is the police officer gay? Is the police officer must be gay for your charge to stick? Do you understand crime of obtaining true information? Is the detective gay or have you charged him incorrectly? Answer the question.
I did not understand the question. What was the question?
Is Detective Blake Keating gay? Is the detective gay because the personal information, you don't get 5 years jail for obtaining false personal information. The basis of the charge is you allege
that the detective is gay. You've changed your background.
Sorry? What?
You've changed your tack now, have you?
Who cares of what you think he's apologised for? Has he obtained true personal information? Is it true that so the detective is gay? What? The detective Blake Keating is gay.
Look, what are the proofs of the offence?
Based on the 60C Crimes Act, is the crime of obtaining true personal information, is the detective gay?
You give me what are the proofs of the offence?
What?
What are the proofs of the offence? You look up the Crimes Act and you get back to me with the proofs of the offence before you talk to us any further.
I do have proof of the offence. Google cased a copy of it.
All right, well, you tell me what are the proofs of the offence?
Why don't you go look at the current version of the page?
No, you're wrong. You tell me the proofs of the offence. You get back to me and you tell me the proofs before you go.
You keep ranting all you want, but the pain hasn't even been turned on yet. I've only been at you for a couple of days, but by the end of a couple of weeks, you'll be wishing. I mean, ASIO aren't going to stop me. You'll be praying for ASIO to hunt me down and kill me, basically, by the time
I'm starting to wonder if you just want a date with him.
You must say, I want a date. Is that the best you've got? You've got to call me gay. I'm married in a foreign country and I'm a resident. You can't cancel my visa. You can't do shits to me. I've got friends. I'm playing that interview to my good friends in Interpol. Okay, I've got a date with them on Monday, actually. Yeah, Interpol. They're in Sordaimund, mate. Yeah. Hey, do you want to see me? I had a meeting with them in 2008. And there's a record of my meeting complaining against 60C Crimes Act.
Luke, what are the proofs
foreign
of
government
this?
Agents.
You're going to do your homework for me. You look up the proofs of the offence for Section 60C, mate, and you get back to me then.
I've had legal advice.
Yeah, I'll stop it there. But the proof of the offence, basically they're saying obtain personal information on a law enforcement officer for purposes of harassment. But when the law was introduced, everyone, including the police, the current police minister, who was then leader of the opposition, Michael Gallagher, and the police minister introduced it, Michael Costa, back then, said obtaining a police officer's name is not an offence, and they laughed at Lee Rhiannon when she predicted this law would be misused. Now, I did say Lee Rhiannon put a press release out against the law, but the Greens have dropped their own social justice and human rights agenda against this obscene law because, I guess, authoritarian gays with guns, it's a hate crime to know you've been discriminated against, are more important. And Lee Rhiannon was the one who tried to push through the gay marriage laws in New South Wales, so case in point. So I'm not against gay people. I'm against, you know, them not being equal. Now, the what do you think of all that? This boy was found not guilty in court. My dad's going to give the coverage of what he actually saw happen in the courtroom because he was in Australia. But the police officer was not gay and had charged a teenager with the crime of knowing he was. So the magistrate, when dealing with the boy pleading not guilty and with decent legal counsel, the magistrate goes, oh, my God, the boy's going to ask the police officer what his sexuality was. So he tries to reframe it and say, no, you didn't obtain, you weren't charged with 60C because he couldn't say obtaining a name. He couldn't say gay because the officer wasn't gay. So he said, you were charged with Section 60C Crimes Act, but the offending language you used was the word especially in your Facebook one-line comment linking to the title of the Facebook group, All Port Macquarie Police Are Corrupt. So Magistrate Hoxton in Port Macquarie said it's a crime to know true personal information, a law enforcement officer is corrupt. It's a crime. And that's exactly what the Greens predicted, and they're still not doing anything.
That's very interesting. So literally, it's a crime to know that law enforcers are criminals.
That's
and
what
to
the
have
magistrate
evidence
said. That's where the law has to go. Just like its predecessor, 60 brackets, one of the Crimes Act. And that's what the cop mentioned when she was trying to go for a fellow colleague. The guy's name's David, and he's in professional standards. That's all I know from that Just Answer thing, over going a fellow cop over junk mail, you know?
This reminds me of a story my brother told me. They got pulled over one time, and his mate was really drunk in the passenger seat. And the cop was kind of, like, giving them a bit of grief and whatnot. And the drunk guy go, excuse me, Mr. Officer, what would you do if I said that you were an asshole? And he said, well, I'd have to arrest you because, you know, you're going to insult an officer. And he says, okay, well, what if I just thought that you were an asshole? And the cop says to him, well, I guess everybody's entitled to their own thoughts, you know? And he says, okay, well, in that case, I think that you're an asshole.
Oh, God. So, my dad went there And also, it's a crime to be a... My dad's also going to expose. It's a crime to be a journalist sitting in a courtroom with a 2B pencil. So every time you see someone sketched from the courtroom on the news, that's police-approved artwork from someone with a press pass. Anyone, any member of the public who goes to a courtroom with a 2B pencil will be arrested, and my dad will talk about it soon.
See, it's like turning every courtroom into a Shakespearean play. To be or not to be? That is the question. We'll be right back after the break at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.